There we go. Welcome, everybody, and hope you enjoyed lunch. I already told a few people that. I think the desserts were excellent today, personally. Then I just like peach cobbler. So, we're here today to discuss virtual desktops. We have as a special guest Laura Armistead from Kindred. She's going to go through a little bit of her case study. And from there, we'll just walk through current VDI solutions, kind of do a quick overview of VDI. We'll look specifically at how VI3 really helps the virtual desktop infrastructure. Some of the new performance features and feature sets in there are really geared towards desktops as well as servers. From that standpoint, we're going to kind of do a look at, HIPAA, some compliance issues, and just kind of move through, how desktop-based solutions that are server-based really help solve some of the compliance issues. How many customers in the room are Citrix users today? That's kind of what I figured. I spent 2.5 years of my life there before I came over to VMware, and I was a consultant, and I worked primarily in hospitals doing a lot of Citrix solutions out there. So I'm very aware of that solution, the challenges that Citrix has, and they offer a lot of really good solutions, but it's still some challenges out there. I think VDI answers a lot of those challenges. We have some of our own still. We're working on a lot of those things out there, but probably a combination of both is going to be a very interesting marriage. You ever see, anybody heard of the Provision Networks or seen the Provision Networks booth? They're doing some really cool stuff out there, and there are a lot of other brokers that are as well. So a lot of those technologies teamed with our desktop technology I think are really going to be a nice solution moving forward for you out there. So we have the building blocks. We'll walk through those building blocks, touch on some compliance issues, hear from Kindred, and then kind of do a wrap-up and have some Q&A at the end. So product marketing asked me, of course, just to kind of throw out there, what all does VMware have in the way of desktop offerings? Today we actually have four different offerings for desktops. We have our free player. Probably most of you have, at least worked with that in some way, shape, or form. I keep a copy around just to run and test out virtual appliances. Workstation, I dare say probably a lot of you have used that as well. Very robust set of tools, really specifically aligned now a lot more towards development, but still really nice just to run a lot of different applications. Personally, I'm looking forward to our Mac product that's coming out. My Windows box crashes way all more often than I want to, so I'm probably going to switch to that local Mac OS for a little bit of stability, and then run my Windows XP VMs. It's absolutely amazing that I can run things in my Windows VM that I try and do in my local box. I blue screen my local box, but I don't blue screen my virtual machine. Amazing how that works. So, looking more at the managed desktop solutions, we have Ace. Ace 2.0 is coming out in beta, and somewhere in the back, there is a form that you can fill out to get on the Ace 2.0 beta if you want to look at that technology. So some nice enhancements around virtual rights management and things like that that are going to be included with that as well. And then, of course, VDI, which is what we're here to talk about today. So pretty good knowledge base from a standpoint of desktops, and there are a few other people in the room that I saw come in and go who know a lot about desktops as well, some Citrix guys, so we can probably answer your questions if we need to as we move along. So the most simplest way and shape to describe VDI, we're taking a virtual machine, we're using a thin protocol, and we're distributing that down to a thin client, a PC, anything that has enough intelligence to run RDP or other types of protocols as well. We have some people who've actually used GoToMyPC to actually use VDI. And there are various other things that you can use, VNC, and if you want to do a Linux box, you can use various X protocols as well to traverse out there. So just hosting a virtual machine, using a thin type of protocol to connect into that. Very simply stated, that's really what it is, and this really enables a lot of very robust solutions for us. So, what are some of the benefits here? Why are we doing this? And server-based desktops, whether it's from a Citrix technology or looking now at the virtual desktop technology, provide a lot of inherent benefits to us. It's a central point of management, that consolidation and collapse of the entire desktop environment. I no longer have to worry about trying to touch all my endpoints, manage all my endpoints, and do a lot of things that just with desktops are very difficult. It's amazing that number, even PC manufacturers do a lot of server-based type of environments just because they don't want to have to manage their own desktops out there in their models. Basically, by virtualizing this, we have all the benefits that we get. The isolation, the partitioning, all those things are just inherent to this model. One of the things that I just absolutely love about VDI is the fact that I can run desktops as read-only. I don't have to give them the ability to be able to change anything. You can't get a virus. Can't put any spyware on there. I reboot you. You're back to a known good place. So for a lot of stations, a lot of places in healthcare environments, they're running applications. They don't need to be saving any data locally, especially for certain compliance reasons. So definitely just have a read-only type of model where, you know, they're sitting there, they're computing. It's a fixed asset. If they break it, you reboot. They're back to a known good place out there. So manageability. Touched on this briefly, but one basic tool that allows you to manage the desktops, build the desktops, see what's going on in those models, everything from that one centralized tool, which is Virtual Center in this picture. From an accessibility standpoint, you know, how do I want to connect into this? Is it via a web browser? Is it via some type of RDP connection? I personally have a Sprint wireless card on my laptop that I'll connect back into. One of the other SEs has a small data center in his basement, and we host desktops there. So for me to actually get in and run a lot of my corporate applications would be very slow over my Sprint wireless card. But over a thin protocol, I connect into this data center, I have access to my applications very quickly. It's a much faster way for me to work. Fortunately, he doesn't mind paying his $400 electric bill each month. So he used to work at HP, got a bunch of SAN equipment and stuff for free. So nice to know those guys. Responsiveness. You know, how long does it take to roll out desktops? You know, just from a physical man-hour standpoint of literally moving them around and putting them out there, provisioning these guys, what happens if they crash? How quick of a response time do you have to get back out there to fix the issue? Is it a re-image? Do I need to open a trouble ticket? You know, there's a lot involved with just day-to-day responsiveness to your end-user needs raced around a PC type of model. So a lot of these can be sucked back in, pulled into one common data center point. It's much easier to do and manage those. So you probably have all seen these slides used around ESX server before, but that's what the platform is. We're running on top of ESX server. So we're going to take that one physical asset or this group of assets and break them into multiple partitions for each virtual machine. Isolation. This is, I think, another really key feature for the virtual desktop infrastructure that nobody else truly has solved at this point in time. If I'm running a virtual machine, I blue screen my virtual machine, the other 30 or so people on that physical host don't care. We're not going to affect them. We're not going to cause any issues across the other board. So if I get infected with a virus, I go download something I shouldn't have. Once again, it's only going to affect me. So I have pure isolation between the environments. Speaking of disasters,
yeah.
Encapsulation, same type of principle. My virtual machine is a file. I can take it with me. It's very easy to recover. Especially in a DR type of model, you know, I think last year Diane during the keynote was actually had a virtual machine on her iPod. Well, that's really all you need. I mean, you just need a media to host this guy on. So very easy just encapsulate the virtual machines, move them around very quickly to gain access back to them. Hardware independence. On the server side, we've always had this. Now on the desktop side as well. We don't care what desktop you're running. We don't care what hardware you're running in the background, so you can really just have this mix of equipment and pull it all together for one nice knit solution. So how does this look kind of from a building block standpoint? We're going to have our enterprise server infrastructure, whatever platform you want to choose. With VI3, pretty much the sky's the limit anymore. You know, we have all the Intel OEM boxes, the Sun boxes, HP, Dell, IBM, you name it, we have a platform that we can run ESX on top of. So ESX is the core. The Virtual Center, very nice management tool to really get you started. Provision your virtual machines. Manage them from a standpoint of, you know, my performancing, how's everything looking. Basically just having a good, you know, all-in-one view of your entire environment. From there, we start branching out. There are various services that you can be brought in. You can look at various connection brokering offerings, different types of things, SSL tunnels that we want to incorporate in this guy. So there's a lot of basically third parties and partners that are working on providing an end-to-end solution for you. So if you haven't visited them, there's a lot of in the booth areas out there. There's some other presentations we'll talk about towards the end of this as well. The protocol then sits on top of these pieces. RDP is by far the most common. We're looking at other protocols as well because there are limitations of both RDP and ICA. There's some other protocols out there that are going to do better graphics. They're going to be able to do bidirectional audio better. So we're looking into those for future enhancements to basically incorporate back into our own products. The devices, once again, we don't care. We just need enough intelligence to launch that remote desktop protocol session, have an interface for the user, and a display to give it back to them. So pretty simple picture, but it does pull everything together in one unique view. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and introduce Laura and let her go through basically her case study, what they've done, some of the solutions they've gone to, After that, we're going to go back into and look at VI3 and then some compliance issues after that.
Did everybody hear me? I think I turned it on.
Yeah.
Oh, I did? Okay, good, good. My name's Laura Armstead. I work for Kindred Healthcare. It's one of the largest, I have to go to the next day, largest healthcare, long-term care providers in the U.S. We have 80 long care hospitals in 24 states. Well, actually, I don't want to read all this to you, but we're headquartered in Louisville, Kentucky. We're all over the country. We have a pretty good big presence. What our issue was is that in our hospitals, the nurses wanted a mobile workstation, so they didn't have to be bound to a workstation in a particular place. They wanted it to be easily manageable and easy to implement, and they didn't really want to know what was underneath of the solution. They also wanted it to be highly available. We kicked around several solutions, one of which was the tablet PCs, but the nurses hated them. They didn't want to have to carry them around. They didn't have any place to put them when they were in the patient rooms, so they didn't want to go there. We also considered laptops on the mobile carts, but they had the higher power requirements. The batteries were larger. They were not as easy to maneuver. And they also had problems with our wireless network. When you would move from place to place, it would lose connectivity, and our patient care application did not like it. So they would lose connectivity, have to log back in. They hated that too. And then we looked at just doing the thin clients and using Citrix. Well, same problem with the application. It wasn't Citrix friendly. It required a lot of setup, and it was just too cumbersome. The last thing we thought of before we come to our final solution was thin clients on mobile carts and Blade PCs. It just seemed more than what we needed, and you ended up being tied to a specific vendor for that. We wanted, why would we host the desktops on the ASX server? We wanted to be able to quickly provision them. We wanted to be able to use the thin clients because of the smaller footprint. It looked and smelled like what they had before, but smaller. And they also had the lower power consumption, which is real important if you have batteries that you have to worry about. We also could pick any vendor. We didn't have to go with, hooking up with just one vendor. And it was highly available. You know, we use vMotion in our ESX farm. So if we have, a problem on one, we just move everything over. And it just seemed a better use of our resources versus the Blade PCs. This is kind of an overview of what we ended up doing. We are using Neoware E370 thin client with XP embedded and a Stinger cart. Stinger is like a common medical type cart that hospitals use. We're hooked to a Cisco wireless NIC and to wireless access points. And then these are all distributed all over the country, so we're WAN connected. And then back at corporate, we have HP DL's 360s, two CPUs, 8 gig of RAM, and running ESX 253, although we are planning on upgrading to version VI3 here shortly, probably within the next couple weeks. We have vMotion running, which we already talked about. The actual instances are running XP, Service Pack 2, and the back-end storage is Clarion ZX700. Just a little more detail. We basically have three network connections on every host. Dual-ported HVAs, and we also have the virtual center management console outside of running on a separate Windows host. The WoW evolution. My coworker, my peer, who was supposed to be here, started with him, and he came up with the WoW, which is workstation on wheels. But they kind of went through various evolutions of this. This is the first one. Bad. Version one. The nurses hated this. They really did. I mean, this is a laptop, a wireless laptop. It had touchscreen. That's our application is touchscreen aware. And the battery life was terrible. They had to have it plugged in almost all the time. It was heavy. It was cumbersome. And, it just didn't last long. And when you go from the same thing when I talked about the wireless connection, if you went from hallway to hallway, you'd lose connection, and they had to log in. The next version was, it was slightly better. It was a smaller laptop, basically, had a smaller footprint, but still, same problem. The wireless was an issue. This model actually did away with the touchscreen, but then the nurses threw big old fits, and they wanted it back. So the last version, which is what they're using today, is using the NeoWare client with a much smaller battery, much smaller footprint. It has the touchscreen again, which the nurses really appreciated. And the battery life is about 4 hours on these, which is pretty much adequate for what they're doing with them. And the nurses love them. They have accepted it, and everybody wants them. And they wanted them so fast we were barely able to keep up with them. It was a little, the cost on this was not as, yes, I'm sorry. Well, because it's not really on the, I'm sorry, I should have talked about that. It's not really, the image that's running is running back at corporate. So it's not really affected by the wireless, only the session is. And basically nurses didn't even notice. There might have been a slight delay, but it just went, you know, as soon as they got in the range, it would work just like they always noticed it too. So they really don't know. I mean, that's the biggest thing with nurses. You don't want them to know there may be any issues ever, because they'll just, you know, not want to use them. So the thing about this configuration, the biggest problem we had to overcome is when we send desktops out into the field, the hospitals pay for them. In this instance, all the hospitals had to pay for was the thin client, and we had at corporate had to have the burden of a much higher infrastructure cost. But we had some trade-offs in our the way we do patching, and where instead of having to go out to the remote facility and apply patches to each one in desktops, it's all here, so it's all local at the desktop. I mean, at the corporate office, makes it quicker, makes it less intrusive to the end users. And so we were able to sell the idea by, you know, it's telling our executives that even though it would look higher on this end, it's not that much a difference in the long run, and it solves so many of our issues, and also required less resources on the other end. They have NT servers out in the field, and they were fussing because we were using up disk space for patch rollouts. So this solved all those problems. So. It went up. We are still. This is a ongoing process. We're still trying to refine it and try to get the cost down lower and lower. And we think we will. We're looking actually at cheaper sand. The Clarion CX700 is pretty cheap, but there's stuff out there that would be less expensive. So we're evaluating that. And sure. Oh, evaluating me too. Some of these notes, and I apologize, but like I said, I didn't write all of this, so I didn't realize what he was trying to say there. But I guess this is where we were talking about, you know, why would we want to go to ESX server and why not just leave it out there? And it gives them the key to it was it gives them more redundancy. If the server dies or the instance has a problem, we can just connect them within minutes to a new one. Not a big deal. We had some issues with the density of the virtual machines. That's still and we're hoping that VI3 helps with that. That we get a little better performance. And that's the whole thing about removing the three.
There's a question out
of the
back here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm sorry. It's a homegrown. It's in-house developed. It's called ProTouch, so nobody else will have it. Yes?
How many virtual desktops do you have on the servers?
on the two CPUs, we're getting about 32 right now. Yeah. And I say that because as soon as you, we think we're, the original 360s that we had bought were limited to 8 gig. The newer ones are allow 12, and we think we'll get some more because we're installing about 4 new servers right now. So we think we'll get some more on that. But we're hoping that VI3 helps with that too. Okay, who was first?
Any proximity or single sign-on type devices?
No. I mean, in this case, I mean, this is kind of what we talked about earlier. We are the application that we're running is running on a Unix server. And all the security is specific to the application, so it doesn't have those capabilities. But, I could see that if the application could deal with it, then, yeah, you could probably do something like that. Okay. Everybody's raising their hand. Okay. Sure. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, they're all running right at 32. I mean, we could put some more on there. We can actually move some more on there, but it starts pegging the CPU. So we run probably around 28 or so on average, but somewhere in between 28 and 32, something like that. We usually have a few. In our case, we're growing so fast that we have servers that are sitting there empty, so we have them in case of that we might have a problem, but. I mean, it's just incredible. We've deployed 400 desktops in the last 3 months. So, who's next?
I'm just curious, how come you're using Windows-based thin clients as opposed to something cheaper, thinner,
and you have to manage it, then you have antivirus? We do patch it, and we do antivirus. The main reason, and this is just a direction our company is going, they are a Microsoft, it's a Microsoft shop. It's amazing we have Linux in there, but in my Unix servers. But it's just they prefer to stay with Microsoft if they can. So that was the main push on that. Who was next? I think the guy back there. What? I don't know. You? It's RDP, and we might be getting in an area I'm not sure about.
I think they're doing one-to-one right now.
One-to-one. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
I'm sorry. I just didn't understand the question. Yeah. Who was next?
So follow-up on that question. If you're doing one-to-one, if you lose one of those, it's gone, what's the next step for the users? If you've got a one-to-one, are you mapping multiple RDP sessions on that?
No, it would have to be a manual reconnect. If we had to rebuild another session, if it's the actual session that goes belly up, we have two choices. We can just redeploy. We have backups of every one of the configurations that we have, so we can just redeploy one if we need to, or the same one actually, or we can just redeploy a new one, and it doesn't take very long at all to get it set up. It's just an IP address and a host name. We'll get them going because it's already configured on the other end. And vice versa, if the thin client dies, it's kind of the same thing. You just set it up to connect to that one session. But we are talking, we have some discussions about doing a mini to one. So I don't, sure. They have multiple of these. They may not, but we have multiple ways that they can do their work. I mean, it is patient care. We actually have terminals in the patient rooms. And as a matter of fact, right now, we're working on a project that's actually replacing the patient care desktops with the same technology, but stationary, of course.
So,
they're not, they still connect in the same session.
Yeah, your RDP session is just going to be static on the back end. As long as you connect back to the same session name, it doesn't matter. You can flop devices very easily. No, not at all.
No,
there are a couple different ways that you can have that automated, so it's just an automatic map. As soon as you put, you can have your username be the variable that automatically maps back to your station. I'm not sure exactly how they're doing it because I'm not the SE in the account, but there are a lot of ways to do a one-to-one with a total room where you just put a username in and it maps directly back to your environment. So there's some ways to automate that.
Yeah.
It could be the client, or it can actually just, I mean, there are a couple ways you can do it.
I know.
I can talk to you more offline if you want. So.
Okay. Was there anybody else? Oh, yeah. Well, this particular solution is only running one application. We are not, we have stationary desktops at the nursing stations that they can do printing if they want to. But in this case, the only thing this is used for is to look at charts or to add entries to charts. So. We didn't have to worry, but it was a good thing. Although we think that in the future that they will want the ability to do printing, so we're going to be looking at that. I think there is something coming out to virtualize printing.
By default, printing just works really well because it's an XP machine. So all those funky printer names that don't match between Citrix terminal servers and the XP counterparts, they work in VDI. I'm amazed at the number of printers I have tried that never would have worked before, multifunction devices and everything else. They just automatically map. Now, if you have a thin connection, we're not doing any compression. It is native print stream. So if you are across a WAN environment, you may want something. You may want to look at, like, the Citrix the wide area application sharing or something like that to help compress some of those, or actually do a local print server. But by default, VDI and printing, I was amazed when I started playing with it. It just works, and it's really quite amazing. So.
I almost misspoke because I think when I said, when we talk about the patient care, it runs on a Unix server, so really printing is local to the Unix server anyway. It doesn't matter. It doesn't even recognize printers. In the way our application works, it depends on your security and what you can. They can actually select printers within the application, but your default printer depends on who you are, what your role is, and what area you work in. And they usually don't. Our nurses don't usually go from floor to floor, but I mean I can see the issue. But they have the ability to map to something different depending on their role.
So, take one more, then keep on going until the end. So good. Good.
We're almost done here. I'm almost done. Future possibilities. The replacement of in-room workstations, we're actually rolling those out right now. There's an idea of using this type of technology for kiosks. Kiosks are multifunction, anybody can use PCs. Maybe one day we'll actually decide to use this for all desktops. It would simplify a lot of stuff for us. And disaster recovery. You could take these images, grab one, and, port it anywhere you want to. I think I'm done.
Thank you, Laura.
We use Radia for software management.
All right, well, a lot of great questions. I really appreciate you guys being interactive with her. I think she enjoyed that, too, a little bit more than just speaking. So.
Yes, I did. Sorry, I was
Great. Very good job. So I know we don't have too much time left, but I do kind of want to go through the VI3 feature set and then a quick overview of HIPAA and kind of how our solution maps to that. So a couple of the new feature sets, resource pools. If you're very familiar with VI3, these are going to be very common terms. I'm not going to go too deep into them, but just kind of a quick overview. Basically, with resource pools in VI3, we no longer have to treat a server as a management unit. We can group multiple ESX servers together, create one logical unit, and then treat that unit as a pair. So if I want to just deploy, 200 virtual machines, I just create a pool, assign it to that pool, and those guys will go out there. And then we have the new features of DRS and HA to failover and load balance between them. The other nice thing is we can break out different units. So I could have physicians and nurses, I could have administrative staff, various things. So based upon if there is a chargeback model, I know some hospitals have some fragmented IT and different budgets. There's a lot of ways that you can actually provide resources and subpools. Now it's all part of the greater farm in the back end. So they're going to be able to use all the resources from a standpoint of failover and things like that. But they're going to be limited to an X amount of capacity that they may purchase or that you've just provided that particular business unit out there. So resource pools are really nice, kind of a new management unit that we've applied in VI3. So, you know, we've always been asked the eggs in one basket question. You know, what happens if, you know, something goes wrong or performance hiccups? And a lot of people have used vMotion over the course of time to try and manually load balance their environments, move things around, everything else. My favorite question is, when I'm deploying a new server, which one should I put it on? That's always a very good question, especially when you're looking at deploying hundreds, possibly thousands of workstations. How do I know where to put these guys? So with DRS, basically it's a load balancer that's sitting out there, and it's going to look at the overall load, look at the priority of the virtual machines, and will make those decisions for you. So I can just have a staging server that sits there, and as I deploy new servers in my environment, they will automatically be purposed and provisioned out there. So it makes some of those decisions a lot easier. And it's also nice from a standpoint of management. If I do need to do maintenance, I can enter maintenance mode on these boxes. I actually have vMotion in the background, move my virtual machines around, so I can go in, perform the maintenance on the physical box. I put it back into my farm. I'm back up. It'll load balance and load back around. So a very nice feature, especially when you're looking at desktop optimization. High availability. What happens when that server dies? Somebody unpulls the plug, motherboard failure, various things. As much as we would love to think servers have 100% uptime, we all know better. So the HA feature set, once again, if I lose the physical host, the box dies, the workloads, the Windows workstations, the XP desktops, will be reprovisioned on the other virtual machines. Now, in Laura's case, with her application being kind of very specific, they may not reconnect. But most time you have 100% recovery on these desktops. They're crashed, they come right back up. It's about a minute normally, maybe 2 minutes. I've seen pretty good reboot times. And fortunately, we were able to borrow some technology from Big Brother EMC to put this in place pretty easily and effectively. But between the load balancing, the failover, and the resource pools, we have a very easy way to manage the overall utilization and provide a lot of high availability features for a desktop environment or a server environment that sits out there. The centralized management, always key. You start growing these environments out, you have hundreds, potentially thousands of images, whether they're desktops or servers. You need one good pane of glass to go out there, do all your provisioning, do your resource management, have access control so you can limit security, who can see what and do what in your environment. And Virtual Center provides all of these. With the added enhancements to it in VI3, we can grow quite larger. We also have a lot more integration with our SDK, so third parties can tie in easier. We can do additional types of management and monitoring. There's some third parties that have done MIME integration and various other things like that. So if you do have other tools that you want to use, Virtual Center can be the conduit to actually communicate with those tools as well. So there's a lot of things that we can do with Virtual Center kind of sitting there as that middleware piece or the end management piece in your environment. Lastly, backup. And something that you don't often think of when looking at compliance issues in particular, but backup and compliance pretty much go hand in hand. Desktop backups, you know, it's often a very tricky thing to do, especially if they are storing data in those environments. You know, are you going to pull that across the wire? How are you actually backing up those workstations? With this model, with everything central, you can use VCB. You can use various other ways to actually grab either the full virtual machine or a file-level backup of those quite easily and quickly. So I'm not going to go into VCB in great detail, but we have the technology to allow you to do a lot of different backup mechanisms out there. So real quick VI3 overview there. I know you guys have more questions for Laura, and I want to have her put the mic back on. But healthcare solutions in general, what are the challenges? And she went through a lot of these already. But really, you know, a convenient, secure method for physicians and hospital staff to be able to get access to your systems. It's got to be efficient. It's got to be basically secure. And, we have to have these compliance issues we're talking about. Staff want to roam. My sister's a surgeon, and it's amazing how untechnological she used to be until she got a taste of this, and now she wants to be connected everywhere she goes, whether it's in the OR or actually in her office or walking across the street to her house. It's really phenomenal. So I'm very well aware of that because I'm her personal tech support. The sister calls, the dad calls, basically that, efficient roaming. How can we do that? What type of protocol can we effectively do that with? Streamlining access. They don't want to have to log in and log out. And I was working with a customer, and hopefully they're going to get budget to do this again. But they actually have a badge-based system where their badge logs them in and logs them out for a lot of the healthcare workers. We were going to actually tie that into Virtual Center. So when they logged in, they're basically their time card checked in off their badge, it was going to start up their virtual machine. When they logged out and checked out at the end of the night, Virtual Center was going to turn off their virtual machine and power it down for the night. So we were actually going to use that as a system, and I had PSO all lined up to do it, and then budget got moved, unfortunately, in the hospital. But I'm hoping to revisit that one because I think it's a very cool solution to have your VM spawning based upon when they walk in the hospital and when they walk back out the door at the end of the day. Yeah. In that case, it was their time card system. I don't know what it was, but it actually had a time card system that went back to a central server that could have then basically pinged the virtual center server with a unique ID. And we could have used that to actually launch that virtual machine. So it wasn't going to be out of the box. There was going to be some customization, but and talking with some of our PSO, they didn't think it would be that hard to do, actually. So basically there was a central server that was getting a message when they logged in, and from that we could have spawned it. So, yeah, I'm hoping to have them probably next year at VMworld if they get the budget squared away. So, but it's a pretty cool solution. Multiple device support out there, whether it is a tablet, whether it is a thin client, or various PDAs that, you know, can do a remote desktop protocol. And finally, compliance issues. You have to make sure you're compliant. Yeah, it's just a fact of life anymore, unfortunately. We have to deal with it as a software company as well. So VDI connections, a lot of different solutions. Home office, nurses stations, roaming devices, wireless workers. I love the doctors on break outside there with their laptops. Yeah, so, no. Gotta love clip art on the internet. So, but yeah, the simple picture is any of these people can effectively connect into a back end and run their core applications very effectively. So the four primary solutions, we don't have to worry about desktop deployments. I don't like playing with my own desktop anymore. I don't want to have to worry about patching it and securing it. And I really don't want to have to worry about going out and touching everybody else's. So I want a central place where I can do all of that from. The session roaming capabilities, whether it's just moving from device to device. And what's interesting is, you know, a lot of different ways you can do this, but it's very easy, especially with some proximity badges. I know some people are working on some of those solutions. You walk in, boom, the session comes up. But if you have to do that or if you have to authenticate, you can definitely carry your session around quite easily. One management platform, it simplifies your life. I don't want to have multiple tools. I don't want to have a desktop tool and a server tool. If I can have one set of tools that do everything, my life's going to be a lot easier out there. So, and, you know, they can work anywhere. That's the bottom line. If we can get a connection, we can have them working. Some of the stuff that's coming with ACE and VDI are, you know, offline and online connections. So these products will probably be merging together, and we'll have offline modes and various things like that that will, you know, make the overall desktop solution much tighter as we move forward. So HIPAA and compliance, there's a lot out there. I've done a lot of research on HIPAA. I'm not a HIPAA expert. I have my lovely disclaimer on the bottom. It's called CYA. I am not an attorney. Definitely consult your own people out there. But there are a few things that you can look at that really are, you know, kind of make common sense. When looking at a server-based computing environment, we can pull them all back in and make sure that we have the electronic piece of this pretty well secured and locked down. So two primary concerns, portability and accountability. You guys probably know this much better than I do in your environment. And there were three primary rules out there, the privacy rule, transaction codes, and then the security rule. And the security rule is pretty much what we're going to focus in on. But from portability and accountability, the two titles, health insurance coverage, not really important to us in this room. Well, it is. I definitely want health insurance. But and then the administration process. So the subsection under Title II, the security and privacy of health data. That's what's important, and that's what we're trying to make sure that we protect and have a solution to go forward with. So under the security rule, physical safeguards is the first one that is most important. Restricting access. So if I have patient information on a desktop or the possibility of patient information being on a desktop somewhere, I have a breach potential right there. If I'm running in a model where I only have a thin client and I'm only basically, you know, doing screen scrapes across the wire, I really, you know, the chances of patient information being stored locally on that system are next to nil. So by having everything secured, having it in a data center in a locked environment, a lot of my potential breaches are quarantined immediately. Backups, retaining offsite computer backups. If there is computer data that needs to be stored in a desktop, you definitely want to have a backup of that. VCB or some of the other metrics that we have in place to do those easy desktop backups make a lot of sense to be used and provisioned this in the model. Administrative safeguards. We need to know who's logged in, when they've logged in, and what's happened on the back end. A lot of that is now captured in Virtual Center, and a lot of those just administrative controls are just automatically built in. We have a lot more logging that's done in our model now than used to be before, so I can track a lot of this information very easily and have one central role to see who logged in, when they logged in, they rebooted a virtual machine, all those different types of things are captured on my back end. So we handle the administrative safeguards quite well. Looking at two-factor authentication, various things like that, proximity badges, additional levels of control that you can put in there and tie into VDI. Finally, just the purely technical safeguards. Whether it is the access control, basically guaranteeing unique users, since it is just a Windows environment that we're running into, we have a lot of things that we can do, put in place for password authentication, password security type of models. Emergency access, I think we have that as well as anybody, both from a standpoint of just password control and account control, as well as very rapid desktop deployment and recovery mechanisms. It probably takes you 5-10 minutes, Laura, to generate a new machine if they need one. So a very quick process to actually do that. The automatic log off, there are ways that we can go in through Virtual Center and basically do a lot of this. You know, if there's a period of inactivity, boom, we shut that virtual machine down. So we have a lot of controls that we can put in place to help meet some of these requirements. The audit controls, as I said, we have a nice audit log. We capture a lot of information in VI3, much more than we did previously out there. So a lot of that's built in. Transmission security, we're relying on our partners for that today. All of our, basically, information that's back and forth between Virtual Center and ESX, we can encrypt. But that end-to-end RDP connection, you're going to need some type of broker or some type of SSL VPN to actually encrypt that. And that's where our partners are coming in and filling that hole today. And we'll be continuing to work with them, providing that overall solution for you out there. So I pretty much walked through this slide, just kind of going through each of those. But basically, from a centralized or central management standpoint, everything is configured and managed on the back end, so we don't have to worry about, you know, data being out in the outside world or you spending time going out and configuring and making sure that there is no data on each individual PC that you have to manage. Easy connection for the users, very small protocol required, not a lot of bandwidth, and they can easily connect in and run all their applications like they were sitting at a normal desktop environment. So, centralization, everything is secure and in the data center where we want to keep it. So, it's just basically a secure by design solution. Thin protocol, no information, screen scrapes going back and forth, keyboard and mouse type of thing, so very easy to do. And we have, finally, the real-time monitoring just to kind of round this guy out, making sure that everything that needs to be complied or audited, is kept on the back end out there. So more questions. We've probably got about 5 minutes or so before we need to wrap up in here. Hope it was informational. I really appreciate Laura coming in here. I know she loves to speak publicly. But if there are any questions, I'd be glad to take them. In the back. We don't have one today built in, but there are a lot of companies out there that do. Obviously, Citrix, if you're a Citrix customer, you can now use their brokering session and their gateway for free. So if you're current with them, they have a brokering solution they'll tie in. There are several vendors here that have solutions as well. So you can go talk to those guys. I mean, Cisco has, obviously, their various appliances. I know Provision Networks has an SSL gateway built into their product, and several others do as well. I think Prepero does, LeoStream, et cetera. So. I'm sure we are going to do something. I wish I knew what it was. Yeah, we're going to be doing something. So, yeah, definitely. Go find the PM for that in the VMware booth and beat them up so we can get a solution. But, yeah, no, we have something coming pretty soon. So, yeah. Yes? There are a couple different ways you can patch. You can use an Altiris or some type of other software management. We have a lot of customers that are just recloning. Literally just batching it. So you build a new VM and then you just reclone it and have a deployment schedule set up so it'll just sit there and deploy them out. So you don't have to worry about failed patches and everything else. I have a known good environment. I have a sysprep running and I can just sit there and generate these guys in the back end. So I have a lot of customers that are just doing that. They're not even playing with the patch management solution. So, yes.
You know, I'm not sure. I'm really not aware if that they have. I wouldn't see it to be a problem. It's a thin client supports the protocol, whatever it is, to connect it. I would.
There are some solutions out right now, but yeah, it's well. I hate to keep mentioning the Prevision one, but I just saw some of their stuff working, and it actually worked quite well. And I think they have USB working as well over their model. So, oh, USB devices, peripherals, barcodes, things like that. So, who else? Anybody besides? Have you seen anybody else good on those, Russell?
Just those remote hardware mounters, like from TV.
Right. Yeah. 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 So there are, I know that is a huge area that there are a lot of people working very heavily in. So, yes.
So, you guys, we're going to capture DynaMap information or anything in the future?
DynaMap? I'm not sure what you mean. Well, we in the application that we run, which it runs completely out of the space, we're just doing a terminal emulation, but it already captures stuff from ventilators,
okay.
That type of stuff. So.
And is that captured through your?
No. There is separate devices that we have out there. It's a separate. It's not really a workstation. It's some kind of device. Yeah. But they're connected to the vents, and they collect all that data, and they transfer it to the ProTouch, the Unix servers. So. We're not really sure what that breakpoint will be at this point. We already realized that it was a little more expensive for us to deploy it this way. The benefits kind of made up for that. But we're looking into, you know, using different technology, like implementing blades to try to lower the cost, try to get a denser amount of more VMs. I mean, that's really what we're trying to figure out. I was actually talking to Tommy about that earlier today. Is how do you make these Windows boxes behave? Because even if they're sitting there doing absolutely nothing, they're taking up CPU. It drives me crazy. So, that's Windows. Well, you know, the funny thing is, we're talking about nurses. They don't really care what it is underneath, as long as it looks and feels like what they're used to. So their biggest thing was they wanted that touch screen, regardless of what we did, and they didn't want to have to, you know, log in any more times than they used to. So as long as when we solved the problem about switching access points, and we gave them the look and feel and a device that wasn't so really cumbersome. They were happy. They just don't care. You know, make it work. Don't make their life hard, and they'll be happy.
Yes.
Multiple people would be able to use the devices, but not at the same time. I mean, it's not like they go. It's a shift thing. So a nurse, you know, would have a station for her patients, and when she changes shifts, and then it goes in. I haven't personally, but that's interesting. I wouldn't have thought about that, but yeah, I can. But, you know, I mean, they are taught, I mean, to practice. I mean, they should. Yeah. Whether they do or not, you're right. I can't. Yeah, we can only hope they do. But that would be the same thing on a keyboard, so it doesn't really, there's not much difference there. Keyboard, touchscreen. So.
We need to wrap up, but I really appreciate it. There are plenty of VDI sessions. A lot have happened, but there's a lot more out there. Definitely visit the various vendors in the booth. Session eval forms, let us know how we did if you want more information about this or, you know, different types of case studies in the future. And I'll be hanging around for a few minutes with Laura to answer any additional questions. Thank you very much.
See, this is so bad. I told you this would happen.
Are you using the Native Orchestra question?
Sure.
You mentioned you use Raven. Can you use that for software and patch management? Do you have to make modifications to that?